Good afternoon, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, Nanomodule or LDO? That is the question. My name is Rich Nass, and I'm the brand director for Embedded Computing Design, which is one of the brands for Open Systems Media, and I will be your moderator for today. So whether you're an accomplished analog engineer or not, that's a question you likely ask yourself pretty often. Well, the good news is that we're here to simplify that decision process for you. And very often people throw out the terms linear regulator and LDO, and they use them interchangeably, and I'm guilty of that myself. And it is accurate some of the time, but definitely not all of the time. And that's just the tip of the iceberg on what we will discuss today. On this webinar today, you'll hear from Frank DeStasi of Texas Instruments. He's been an applications engineer who's been handling Texas Instruments' simple switcher product line since 2011. And before that, he worked for National Semiconductor as an IC designer in the DC to DC regulator group. So he's clearly an expert on the space, so you'll want to listen to what he has to say. Okay, I'd like to go over some of the housekeeping items before I bring Frank out. This entire presentation will take about 30 minutes, and then after that, we're going to answer all your questions. And we will answer as many as time permits. You'll find on your console window there's a button that allows you to enter your questions in real time, and as I said, we'll answer as many as we have time for after the presentation. If we don't get a chance to answer your question, somebody will get back to you after the fact with an answer. If you have a question that pertains to the operation of the eCast, if you're not seeing the slides move, if the audio has a problem, enter that question in, and one of our technical folks will get back to you about that. There's also a button on the console to enlarge the slides. If you click on that button, you'll be able to view them in full screen. And there's also a forward to a friend button if you'd like to pass this on to one of your colleagues or your friends. And also note that this eCast will be posted online within about 48 hours, and an audio podcast will also be available. Okay, that's it from me. I'd like to bring Frank out now to start his presentation. All yours, Frank. Take it away.
Thank you, Rich. Today we'll be talking about the differences between an LDO and a DC-to-DC converter and how we can choose between the two solutions for a given application. First, we'll take a look at LDO basics and the operation of an LDO and the pros and cons. Then we'll be looking at the basics of switching regulators. Specifically, we'll be looking at the Texas Instruments nanomodule buck converters. Take a look at their basic operation and their pros and cons. And finally, we'll have quite a few examples near the end that should help you choose between the two different types of power solutions. So let's get started. First of all, the term LDO stands for low dropout. And essentially the definition of dropout is it's the lowest difference in input and output voltage that the regulator needs to properly regulate its output. Nowadays, most linear regulators actually are called LDOs, even if their dropout is not that good. And having a low dropout specification allows the input and output voltage rails to be closer together, which also has some advantages in terms of battery-operated applications. So you can squeeze a little bit more battery life out of your battery if you can regulate when your input and output voltage rails are close together. Usually a linear regulator requires at least one input and one output capacitor. However, we do have some regulators that only require one input capacitor. Finally, since it is a simple linear system, the regulator can only produce an output voltage that is less than its input. In other words, it can boost its output or invert its output. So if we look here in the diagram, in the center of the slide, we see a very, very basic linear regulator. And essentially, the voltage divider, the resistive voltage divider that you see, is connected to the output, and that samples the output voltage. And it's then presented to one input of the op-amp. And the other input of the op-amp comes from the reference. And the output of the op-amp is connected to the gate of the power MOSFET transistor. So essentially, the op-amp controls the power MOSFET transistor in order to regulate the output voltage. So it's a very basic closed-loop system whose goal is to regulate the output regardless of the input voltage and the load current that's being required. In this case, the MOSFET's power transistor is being used like a variable resistor. So it's easy to see from the schematic that the all of the difference between the input and the output voltage is being dropped across the power MOSFET. At the same time, all of the load current is passing through the power MOSFET. So what that means is that under some conditions, you could get a very large power dissipation within the power MOSFET itself. And that power loss is pretty much wasted. And that's the basis of why an LDO can have low efficiency under some conditions. So if we take a look at an example, we see here that we have an input voltage of 5 volts, and we have a output voltage of 1.8 volts in this case, and a load current of 1 amp. So, you know, the load could be a 1.8 volt microprocessor or something like that that requires 1 amp of current. The voltage drop across the FET is 3.2 volts. And with 1 amp going through it, that represents 3.2 watts of power dissipation, which is essentially just lost. And in this case, the load is only receiving 1.8 volts times 1 amp, which is 1.8 watts. So there's actually more power dissipation in the transistor as loss than there is actually going to the load. So if you do a simple efficiency calculation, as we do here, we end up with a very low efficiency, something like 36%. So this very high power dissipation translates into greater heat generation, which will also tend to increase the temperature of your PC board and could very easily increase the temperature of some of the other components on that board. Our next example here, we have an input voltage of 3.3 volts and an output voltage of 3 amps with a load current of 1 amp. So in this case, the input and output voltage rails are rather close together. So the voltage drop across the power MOSFET is only 0.3 volts. So with 1 amp flowing through there, that represents a loss of 0.3 watts. Whereas the load in this case is getting 3 volts at 1 amp, and that ends up being 3 watts. So if we calculate the efficiency in this case, it comes out to be something like 91%. So that's actually quite high. And the reason it's quite high is that the input and output voltages are very close together in this particular case. So this kind of emphasizes the real advantage of the of an LDO. Whenever you have your rails that are very close together in magnitude, that's when the LDO really provides you with some advantage of having a low dropout. So we have some pros and cons here for our LDO. Pros is small size is usually an important factor. Typically, an LDO will come in smaller packages than a DC-DC converter. Low noise is obvious. An LDO does not generate any EMI like a DC-DC converter does. Usually, the LDOs are much simpler to use. The PC board layout typically is very simple. And sometimes an LDO can be much less expensive than a DC-DC converter. On the con side, the efficiency is very low under some conditions, especially when the input voltage is much greater than the output voltage, as we just saw. And this translates into higher board temperature and higher temperatures for everything else that's on that same board. And finally, the LDO can only reduce its input voltage. It can boost the input voltage or it can invert it, like some DC to DC converters can do. All right, so let's take a look at a typical DC-DC converter. Here we're highlighting the Texas Instruments Nano Module and specifically the LMZ20501. And this little module here can provide 1 amp of load current over an input voltage range of 2.7 volts to 5.5 volts. And with an adjustable output voltage range of 0.8 volts to 36 volts. If you take a look on the right side of your screen, you can get some idea of what this package actually looks like. What we've done is we've taken the regulator die and we've embedded it into a very small, thin PCB substrate. And we're using the normal vias and copper clad within the PCB board substrate to actually connect to the die. Then go up to the inductor. So the inductor is actually soldered on top of the PC board, and that's actually part of the package. So the entire package size here is 3.5 millimeters square by 1.7 millimeters high. And the advantages here, certainly small size is very obvious, but the user only is required to supply an input capacitor, an output capacitor, and a feedback voltage divider. And at that point, he has a complete DC to DC converter solution. The next converter we're highlighting is the LMZ21700. Now, the package on this particular regulator is exactly the same. And however, this particular regulator here will has a maximum input voltage of 17 volts and can supply 650 milliamps of current. And basically the same package size, the same features. Again, the user only needs to supply two external capacitors and a feedback divider resistor. Okay, so let's take a look at the operation of a DC to DC converter a little bit more carefully here. Everybody probably kind of realizes that, you know, intuitively maybe that a DC to DC converter provides higher efficiency than an LDO. And one of the reasons for that is that in a DC to DC converter, we have an inductor. And the inductor is able to store energy and release it when it's needed rather than just letting that energy be lost and wasted as heat as it is in an LDO. So that definitely is one of the key reasons that the DC-DC converter has higher efficiency. The other reason is that because we do have the inductor to help store energy, the MOSFET switches that you see in the diagram are used as switches and not used as linear resistances. That also saves a lot of power. And as far as external components go, both the inductor and the capacitors, when you operate at higher switching frequencies, you can reduce the size of those components as well. And specifically when it comes to our nano module, as you saw a moment ago, we've integrated the inductor on board, and it is part of the package, so the customer doesn't have to deal with that. All they have to do is supply the proper input and output capacitors. So essentially, the closed-loop system is very similar to an LDO. The output voltage is sampled with a resistive divider and sent to the op-amp, and the op-amp compares the reference voltage with that sampled output, and it controls the modulator. And the modulator is responsible for turning the power MOSFET switches on and off at a certain frequency and at a certain duty cycle. And as I mentioned, since the voltage drop across the MOSFET is small because they are being used as switches, then the losses are very, very small, and the efficiency can be very, very high. And this is especially true over a very wide input voltage range. Unlike the LDO, where the efficiency is high only when the input and output voltages are similar, for a DC-to-DC converter, the efficiency will stay high even when the input and output voltages are far apart. So we'll take a look at this in a little bit more detail here. Let's say that the MOSFET power switches that I have shown here have a resistance of 100 milliohms when they're turned on. When the load current or the inductor current flows through those switches, we get a very small voltage drop and a very small power loss of about 100 milliwatts for instantaneously for each one of those switches. But since these transistors are only turned on for a part of the time, for only a small part of the whole cycle, the power dissipation is reduced even more. So in this example, the top switch only has an average dissipation of about 36 milliwatts, whereas the bottom switch has an average dissipation of about 64 milliwatts. And this example is pretty much the same as for the LDO. We have 5 volts in, 1.8 volts out, and 1 amp of load current. So if we go ahead and make the calculations, with about a total of 100 milliwatts of loss in the DC to DC converter, we can calculate the efficiency as about 95%, whereas the previous example for the LDO with 5 volts in and 1.8 volts out, the efficiency was only 36%. So it's a pretty dramatic difference in the efficiency, and basically it comes about because the MOSFETs are not used in their linear region, they're used as switches, and at the same time we have the inductor to store energy. So the pros and cons of a DC-to-DC converter, obviously high efficiency is one of them. That means that the heat dissipation will be less, and it's a little easier to get rid of the heat, so your PC board temperature will be lower. Also, there's the opportunity for very flexible conversion. A buck converter, such as our nanomodules, can be used in an inverting configuration to change a positive voltage into a negative output voltage. Some of the cons, the PC board layout for a typical discrete DC-to-DC converter is going to be a little bit more complicated and a little bit more critical than it is for an LDO. However, with our nanomodules, we've tried to make it even simpler, as simple as possible. Of course, since the DC-to-DC converter is switching, perhaps at 1 or 2 megahertz, it's going to generate EMI. And there are many ways to sort of mitigate that. And our nanomodules have some tricks, if you will, built into them that minimize the amount of EMI generated. But of course, an LDO will not have any EMI at all. Finally, in some cases, a DC to DC converter can be slightly more expensive than an equivalent LDO. Okay, so let's move on to our first example. In this example, we have an input voltage rail of 3.3 volts to 5.5 volts with an output voltage of 1.8 volts, a load current of 0.5 amp, and an ambient temperature of 25 degrees C. In this particular example, our key issues will be power dissipation and overall size. All right? So on the left side, we have the LMZ21700 nanomodule. And on the right side, we have the LP38693 LDO. Now, in this case, the evaluation module the evaluation board for the nanomodule has an area of about 1,700 square millimeters. However, the solution size, which includes the regulator and the output caps, is about 100 square millimeters. On the other side, the PC board area for the LDO is somewhat larger, about 2,600 square millimeters, but the solution size is exactly the same. It's 100 square millimeters. The difference, obviously, here comes in when we take a look at the thermal camera images. On the left side, the nano module, the maximum temperature is about 32, maybe 34 degrees C, while dissipating that its full load in the example we just talked about. Whereas on the right-hand side, we can see that the hottest temperature on the LDO is over 100 degrees C. There's a pretty dramatic difference between the temperature of the two boards. So in this case, both the nano module and the LDO can easily meet the design objectives that we set forth. However, the LDO is much hotter than the nano module, even though its PC board is slightly larger. So in this case, the LNZ21700 is the clear winner. All right, our next example. We have an input voltage of 5.5 volts, an output voltage of 1.8 volts, and a load current of 1 amp. In this case, for this example, our key issues will be noise on the output and EMI. On the left side, we have the LNZ20501 nano module, and on the right side, the TPS72518 LDO. Now, both of these devices can easily meet the input and output voltage specs. Both devices have enable and power good. The nano module comes in with about a 1.5% accuracy, whereas the LDO is about ±2%. So that's about the same. And both devices have a quiescent current of 80 microamps at no load. If we take a look at a scope shot of the output voltage ripple, on the left-hand side, we can see that the nano module has very, very little ripple and noise being generated. But on the right-hand side, we take a look and compare it under the exact same conditions as the LDO, and it's pretty much non-existent. There isn't any output voltage ripple or really any noise in the output of the LDO. And that's what we would expect, of course. So in conclusion for this example, both solutions can achieve the nominal specifications, and both have pretty much the same features. However, the TPS72518 LDO is specified for only 150 microvolts of noise and obviously has no EMI issue. So in this case, since noise and EMI are the important features, the TPS72518 LDO is the winner. All right, our third example, we have an input voltage of 5 volts, an output voltage of 3.3 volts, and a load current of 0.5 amp. In this particular application, our key issues will be dropout voltage. And here I've defined dropout voltage as that difference between the input and the output voltage when the output has fallen by 100 millivolts at a load current of 0.5 amp. So on the left-hand side, we have the LNZ21700 nano module. And the right side, the TPS7133 LDO. Again, both of these solutions meet the input and output voltage specs. The nano module is rated at 650 milliamps and the LDO at 500 milliamps. So both of them can handle the load current. Both of them have enable and power good. The dropout voltage for the LNZ21700 as measured on the bench, typically under the conditions of this example, are 107 millivolts at 500 milliamps. The LDO is specified, this particular LDO under these conditions, is specified to have a 250 millivolt dropout at 0.5 amp. So if we take a look at this, these two solutions, both the solutions can easily achieve the specifications, and both have nearly the same features. However, in this particular case, the LNZ21700 nano module actually has less than half the dropout of a competitive LDO. So in this case, the DC to DC converter actually wins out over the LDO even on dropout. Our next example is similar to the last one, but a little bit different, an input voltage of 3.3 volts, an output of 1.8 volts, and a load current of 1 amp. In this application, rather than dropout, our key issue is minimum input voltage, which is slightly different than dropout. So if we take a look here, we have on the left-hand side the LNZ20501 nano module. On the right side, the TPS72518 LDO. Again, both can easily meet the specifications. Both have enable and power good, same features. And both have about the same output voltage accuracy. However, the nano module has a minimum rated input voltage of 2.7 volts, whereas the LDO can still regulate its output at 1.8 volts with a minimum input voltage of 2.01 volts. So if you look at this a little more closely, we can see just from the basic data sheet specifications that both of these devices would work. However, if we look at the dropout voltage for the TPS72518 at 1 amp, it's specified as 210 millivolts. So if we add 210 millivolts to 1.8 volts, we get 2.01 volts as our minimum input voltage. On the other hand, the LMZ20501 nano module has a minimum rated input voltage of 2.7 volts, regardless of any of the other conditions. And the reason for that is that, as you can imagine, a DC to DC converter is quite a bit more complicated in its internal circuitry than LDO. So it requires a little extra headroom voltage than a typical LDO. So in this case, the LDO is the clear winner when input voltage, or minimum input voltage, is the important criterion. So we'll take a look at our final example. The input voltage is 3.3 volts, the output is 1.8 volts, and the load current is 1 amp. And in this example, our most important criterion will be solution size. All right, on the left-hand side, we have the LNZ20501 nano module. On the right-hand side, we have the TPS7837 LDO. And again, just a quick look at the data sheet will tell you that they both meet the specifications. The nano module has enable and power good. The LDO only has enable. The output voltage accuracy of the LDO is slightly better than that of the nano module. However, the total solution size, as you can see here, for the nano module is 49 square millimeters, whereas for the LDO, it's 65 square millimeters. So again, both solutions, just from a data sheet perspective, look like they'll work correctly and properly, and they will. However, if we take a little closer look at the specifications, we'll see that the solution size for the nano module is actually 25% less space than the LDO. So in this case, the LNZ20501 is the clear winner. So we can go ahead and summarize a little bit here. Use an LDO when your application requires low output voltage noise, no EMI, operation at very low input voltages, or the input voltage is close to the output voltage. Use a nano module, DC to DC converter, when your application requires very high efficiency, low PCB temperature, small solution size, or there are large variations in your input voltage. All right, and with that, I believe that my presentation is just about over, so I think I'll move it over to Rich.
Well, thank you very much. That was very interesting, and I learned a lot, and I answered the question that we posed at the very beginning about should it be a nano module or an LDO. Okay, now we start answering the questions. You still have time to input your questions, so go ahead and input them into the console, and we will answer as many as we have time for. Okay, so here we go. We're going to start. Are you ready, Frank?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. Here's an easy one. Would solar panels be a good application for a low dropout buck?
Well, I think that one thing you have to remember about a DC-DC converter or a buck converter is that the input voltage drops, the input current will actually go up because it's a constant power device. So, you know, as the output voltage of your solar panel begins to drop, the converter will start to draw more current. And that might cause, you know, some kind of an unstable condition in some cases. So I think the answer is you have to sort of match your DC-DC converter to your to the output of your solar panel in order to answer that question more completely.
Okay, that makes sense. So we have actually two follow-up questions that are along the same lines. The first is, what types of applications would benefit from a DC-DC converter? And then the second question is, what types of applications would benefit from an LDO?
Well, I think that applications that are very sensitive to heat or very space constrained applications and battery-operated applications that require very high efficiency over a large input voltage range, those applications would benefit from a DC-DC converter. Obviously, if you need special requirements, such as an inverting output, a negative output voltage, or if you need to boost your input voltage above, or boost your output voltage above your input, then the DC-DC converter is really the only solution there. The types of applications that you would use in an LDO for an LDO, again, if you need very, 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 very small solution size, very simple PC board layout, maybe a single-sided PC board layout, you're not too concerned about efficiency, or more importantly, if you're really very, very concerned about noise being generated, such as if you have a sensitive radio receiver, then typically an LDO would be used in that type of application.
Okay, you said something that I want to call you on. Where would you not be concerned with efficiency?
Well, it's true that you're always concerned with efficiency. However, there might be other aspects of your design that might be more important than efficiency, such as, like I said, you have a very sensitive radio receiver. And even though you want your design to be very efficient, your only real choice might be an LDO, which doesn't generate any noise. And in that case, you might generate a voltage rail that's kind of close to what your output of your LDO would be, maybe with a DC-DC converter someplace off the board, and then power the LDO with that. And then the LDO would have its input voltage very close to its output voltage, and under those conditions, it would be rather efficient.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, just to put this in the right context, what sort of voltage levels are we talking about here?
Oh, an LDO's the input voltage range. Some of them might go up to 30 or 40 volts, and the output voltage, could be anywhere from a half a volt up to nearly the input rail. Texas Instruments has DC-DC converters that will operate from 2.5 all the way up to 60 volts, in the current ranges of 1 to 2 or 3 amps.
Okay, very good. Okay, do we have an isolated version of this nanomodule series?
At this time, we do not have an isolated nano module. The simple switcher sort of brand is just that. It's meant to keep things as simple as possible. And for an isolated module or an isolated solution, you require quite a bit more components than just one of our simple nano modules. The short answer is no.
Okay. Which technology is best suited to rapidly, it says changing, I think it's, it should be charging, to rapidly charging output current demand? Maybe it is changing. Rapidly changing output current demand. Which technology is best suited?
Well, I think, it kind of depends. In the past, we would have said that an LDO can be much faster than a DC to DC converter in terms of its load current response. But typically, the output capacitor of whatever you have, whether it's an LDO or a DC-DC converter, is going to take the brunt of the load current transient and determine how much your output voltage will droop. However, today, with our very fast switching frequency DC-DC converters, we're able to use smaller inductors, and we're also able to push the bandwidth of the control loop up into maybe the 50 or 60 or maybe even close to 100 kilohertz range. So I think that nowadays the gap between an LDO and a DC to DC converter in terms of response time is closing up a little bit. So I think that with enough output capacitance and with a good fast DC to DC converter, I think they both can pretty much, they both do pretty well for themselves. But again, every situation is a little bit different. So the best thing to do is to really take a look at the specs on both parts and see which one, best fits your particular application.
Okay. Going back to an earlier question, so the nanomodule device presented can provide significant efficiency and thermal benefits compared to an LDO, but how significant is the increase in noise and EMI?
Well, for the nanomodule, the increase, I mean, obviously an LDO does not generate any EMI at all. However, our nanomodules are designed to have very low EMI. So we have some special features built in there so that we don't generate a great deal of output voltage ripple or EMI. So if we're just comparing an LDO with one of our nanomodules, the nanomodule is pretty quiet. If you compare it with a discrete buck converter where you have a controller and an external inductor, the nanomodule is going to be much quieter than a discrete solution, simply because the inductor is much closer to the actual controller, and the parasitic inductance and capacitance that we have inside our module is much smaller than what you can achieve on a large PC board.
So why would anybody ever go with the discrete version?
Well, the discrete version gives you a little bit more flexibility. If you want to tailor some of the specifications, such as maybe a fast transient response, or if you want a different frequency than we offer in one of our modules, you need to change the inductor as you change the frequency. So a separate discrete solution gives you just a little bit more flexibility. Essentially, the difference is that if you're somewhat of an expert in designing DC to DC converter solutions, then you probably will want to go with a discrete solution because you can tailor that to your particular application. However, if you're just looking for a kind of a drop-in point of load, kind of like a replacement for an LDO, then the nanomodule is the best choice because we've done all the kind of hard work for you already.
That's very nice of you.
Thank you.
Okay, going back to the EMI, does the inductor type used on the nanomodule impact the EMI generated by the module?
Well, yes. I mean, the choice of the inductor is very critical, obviously, not just from a point of view of EMI, but also from point of view of the maximum load current and saturation, and some of the other parasitic effects. So yes, the inductor does have an impact on EMI.
Okay. Let's see. Is the output ripple in a DC to DC converter higher or lower when compared to an LDO?
Well, in an LDO, there is no output voltage ripple really at all. There's noise generated inside the LDO, which is very, very small, but not necessarily insignificant. Whereas in a DC to DC converter, if you remember the very simplified diagram that I showed, you have an inductor and an output capacitor, and that forms a low-pass LC filter. So you have the power MOSFET switches moving along at a very high frequency in a certain duty cycle, and that node is switching from 0 volts all the way up to VN, and the LC filter is required to filter and smooth that out. So yes, there's going to be a finite amount of ripple on the output of the DC-DC converter that didn't get completely filtered out by the main LC filter. Whereas an LDO, it'll just typically be very, very small amounts of circuit noise generated by the controls.
Okay. Does TI have any low noise switchers that can drive a radio application directly?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question, actually, because it depends on how much noise is too much noise. Now, we have quite a few regulators that are designed for low EMI and low noise, and I think that every application is somewhat different, and we can pretty much, the apps guys here can pretty much help you with that. If you may need a post filter or something like that, we're here to help you. We do have one part, the TPF54122, that has a DC to DC converter with an integrated low noise LDO. So that's one solution, rather than using a post filter. And anytime you guys anyone needs any help with a solution like that, don't hesitate to call the app guys.
Okay, you guys are always there to help, right?
We're always there to help.
There you go. Okay. Is there any device that can boost NBUC?
Yes. In fact, TI has also several DC to DC converters that we call buck boost for obvious reasons that will take an input voltage range that is within your output voltage range. So they're obviously required to both reduce the input and boost it up as necessary. So as an example, you might have a lithium ion battery system that your input voltage specification might be from 2.7 to 5.5 volts. And at the same time, you need a regulated 3.3 volt output voltage range, output voltage. So the output voltage is right in the middle of that kind of wide input voltage range. In that case, you would use one of our buck boost DC-DC converters.
Okay. Does the inductor type used on the nano module impact the EMI that's generated by the module?
Yeah, someone asked that already. The answer is yes. It will impact the EMI. So EMI generation is one criterion that we use to select an inductor for our modules and in general for any DC to DC converter.
Okay. Going back to the general questions, what is the best feature of a DC to DC converter? And then part B, part two, what is the best feature of an LDO?
I think the best feature of a DC-DC converter is the fact that it has very high efficiency over a very wide input voltage range. And that translates into less heat dissipation and less PC board temperature. And as far as the LDO, I think the LDO, its best feature is that it's very quiet, very low noise, and at the same time, it can be much, much simpler to implement on your board than a DC-DC converter.
Okay. What are the differences between the LMZ10501 and the LMZ20501?
Well, I think the difference between those two are their different generation of nanomodule. The LMZ1 series was pretty much a first generation device, and the LMZ2 is a second generation device. And although I'm not 100% familiar with the exact differences between the first and the second gen, I think that the second gen is probably a little bit smaller and a little bit higher efficiency, as you might expect from the next generation. And the best way to answer that question is to go to the TI website and go ahead and compare the two generations.
And will that first generation continue to be produced?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, very good. Are there high-power nanomodules or LDOs for heavy-duty industrial applications?
Yes, we have high-power modules. We don't call them nanomodules because they have a higher power level, and they're not as small as our small nanomodule. But TI has a whole variety of power modules, all the way up to at least 10 amps of output current capability, and certainly up to 36 volts for some of the higher power, and up to even higher voltages for some of the lower power modules.
Okay. Let's see. What are the nanomodules and LDO composed of, and how are they made? Wow, that's an interesting one.
Well, I think if we go back to perhaps that slide that shows the nanomodule construction, maybe that would be a little more helpful here. Let's see if we can...
Yeah, you can actually flip back to that slide if you know the number. There you go.
Right. You see it? Okay.
Yep.
You can see that, right. Okay. So the way our nanomodule is constructed is that we take a very thin PC board substrate and we embed the actual control die, the integrated circuit, inside the PC board. And we use the usual vias and copper routing of the PC board to connect the die to the inductor, which is on the top, and to the pads that are on the bottom that get soldered down to the actual PC board in your application. So that's essentially the fabrication of our nanomodules. Essentially, it's a thin slice of the PC board with an inductor on top and the integrated circuit embedded into it, and that's the entire package. An LDO, of course, is more traditional, where you would have a die inside of a lead frame with some molding compound around it and some lead. And typically nowadays, most DC-DC converters and LDOs are constructed on some advanced BiCMOS type process.
Okay. Are there any other connecting comparable parts suggested or recommended?
By that, you mean for a nanomodule or for a DC-DC? Or I'm not sure I understand.
Well, let's go with both.
Right. Well, you know, we have in fact an entire family of nanomodules. The LMZ20501 is the 1-amp version, and the LMZ20502 is the 2-amp version. Regarding the 17 volts module, the LMZ21700 is the 650 milliamp module, and I believe there's also a 1-amp module in that family. We have an entire family of different parts of nanomodules, of discrete, of larger power modules, and you can find them all right on our TI website.
Boy, that TI website's awesome, full of information.
Awesome,
huh?
Awesome.
Okay, does the nanomodule contain nano comparators?
Well, the It doesn't have any, like auxiliary comparators that the customer could use. That's what the question is, I think it is. However, it does have a power good function, so which is looking at the output voltage. So that's about the closest we come to providing a comparator for the customer. Just that power good output function status.
What do you mean exactly by the power good function?
The power good function basically is a comparator, and one side of the comparator is looking at our reference voltage, and the other side of the comparator is looking at the output voltage of the module. So when the module or the regulator is first started up, the output voltage will slowly climb up to a final reference regulated value. And when that happens, the power good comparator senses that and releases the power good pin so that the customer can get a signal on that pin when the output voltage is within its proper regulation limits.
Okay, that makes sense to me. I'm afraid we have to wrap up, Frank. You did an awesome job handling those questions, and I appreciate it. If you had asked a question that we did not have time to answer, someone will get back to you, I assure you, in a pretty timely manner. So I would like to thank Frank for an awesome presentation. I'd like to thank Texas Instruments for sponsoring this event. And I'd like to thank, of course, the audience, you, the engineer, because we wouldn't be able to do any of these things without you. So thank you very much for attending, and I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye.